fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. Here with Dan Dugan, the other guy.
Hi there. Yes, indeed. The other guy on the other side of the news, WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
And we've got Tish O'Dell, who's on the other side. We're talking about the good side with the Ohio Community Rights Network. She is the network president, and they're having a conference, the Ohio Community Rights Conference. And the theme, Growing Roots and Rights for Just Community. And that's on Saturday, September 29th. All day, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Welcome to the other side of the news, Tish.
Thanks for having me, Bob.
And what are we going to do to grow roots and rights for just communities?
Well, it's something we've been talking about in the 5 years the Ohio Community Rights Network has been around. And what's interesting is all these activists throughout the state, and we do have a lot of activists in Ohio. That's what I've learned. But they're all working on single issues, and a lot of times that works against, I think, making any real change. So what we're trying to do at this conference, it is the first one, is bring people into the room together who are focusing on different issues, and maybe social justice issues and also environmental issues, and bring them together and try to look at what we have in common and what is maybe preventing us from getting what we want on our, you know, passion, the issues we're passionate about. We'll find that I think there's a lot of commonality, why we can't get what we want in our communities, and so that's the goal of the conference.
And I suspect a little that may have to do with corporate money on the other side and
yeah,
the influencing
of
both parties
in
this state.
Yep, that's definitely a part of the conversation, and Bob, you're going to be there with us and talking about elections, too, so, yeah.
And some of these issues, this looks like a dialogue, safe communities, so you're going to raise the issue of a police accountability, racial and ethnic profiling, mass incarceration, and gun violence, so you're not shying away from some of the most controversial issues in our nation.
Correct. And what's interesting, we've kind of been focused, a lot of people, the issues that a lot of people have come to our organization with over the last 5 years have been environmental. But, you know, we're branching out because the environment's only one part of a community's issues. And even though the pipelines and fracking is bad, as you well know, if you can't have democracy in your community, that's bad. The police accountability issues that are going on, the safety. What we decided to try and do was bring two keynote speakers in. So instead of just one, two that would appeal to both of these segments of the population. So we're bringing in Mari Margill, who actually runs the International Center for Rights of Nature with CELDEF. And she's going to be talking about nature invisible under the law. That's the her keynote, the title of that. And then we're also bringing in to deal with the other side, the social justice side of our community's issues, Dr. Malina Abdullah, and she is from Cal State. She also founded the Black Lives Matter chapter out in Los Angeles, and mm-hmm. she is a professor at Cal State. And her talk keynote is called The Audacity of Blackness, Rights, Repression, and Resistance in the Black Lives Matter Era. So hoping we'll attract people from both the social justice realm and also the environmentalists throughout the state.
And again, CELDEF is the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, is it not?
Yep, correct. Mm-hmm.
And I know you've done a tremendous amount of work with them. With fair communities, you're going to deal with the issues of living wages versus minimum wage, workers' rights, predatory lending and the right to work itself, and I suppose right to work legislation.
Yeah, exactly. So besides the two keynotes, we're going to have breakout sessions, and there's going to be five of these. We're calling them community conversations. And we've made a real conscious effort to not call the people who are we've invited to participate, like yourself, experts necessarily, because what we found is that people really need to be empowered to feel more like they are the experts in their community. We have a system that tends to make the people feel like they don't matter. Like, mm-hmm. you can't propose laws because, one, what do you know? You don't know anything. You can't talk about fracking or pipelines,
right.
because you don't have a PhD after your name, so what do you know? But what's interesting is, you know,
and that's
people,
a deliberate strategy
mm-hmm.
by
yep.
corporate America. I mean,
yep.
they went after Gasland, the documentary. It was like a CIA operation. If they would challenge any little fact they could, and this is deliberate. And Paul Loeb, who wrote the book The Soul of a Citizen, said this is what they have always done in foreign policy. They imply unless you can debate, you know, Kissinger on Nightline, you ought to shut the hell up. But on the other hand, most people are smart enough to realize if you're attacked by people from Saudi Arabia and none are from Iraq, why are you going after Iraq?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, pardon me, just 1 minute. I also mm-hmm. wanted to point out, which we all know, that if someone is a scientist, thus an expert, then they will try to discredit that science and bring in their own so-called facts and experts to discount the science behind our side. But anyway, I'm sure everyone knows
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, and a part of this is, you know, what I found over the last, like I said, 5 years is it's very interesting to me that people, you know, don't feel that's what's broken them down, I guess. It's their community, and yet they don't feel like they can self-govern at all. That's really what the Ohio Community Rights Network and CELDEF is promoting with communities. We're trying to help them, again, realize that they have the right to self-govern, self-determination where they live, and that has been stripped little by little, you know, throughout the past 150 years, I mean, our whole system is set up so that the people are disempowered and just that elite minority, the 1%, has all the power. And so back to what your original question, these five community conversations, we have them broken out, like you said, one's about worker issues, worker rights. Another one is about safety, which is Melina's topic, talking about, you know, police accountability and all those kind of things. Mari's talking about sustainability with Mike Ferner, who was a former councilman up in Toledo, and talking about environmental issues and rights of nature. We also have a segment talking about the current issue that's going to be on the ballot, issue one, and the legalization of marijuana. So that's the healthy communities. And then you're going to be, Bob, in the one that talks about fair communities, which is talking all about our election issues and do we really have democracy where we live and can people legislate just like the legislature and your local electeds can. So, yeah, it'll be an interesting day, I believe.
Yes, we're talking with Tish O'Dell, the Ohio Community Rights Network president. And again, we're saying come on out Saturday, September 29th. From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Quest Conference Center.
And it's only $10.
And that includes lunch.
Only $10. Lunch included for an entire day of learning about your community and how to work within the system. Or without the system. But at any rate, for only $10.
How to occupy the system on occasion as necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Under the Ohio Constitution, the right of the people, as in the Declaration of Independence, to alter or abolish present forms of government and create those that serve the people and the community. So that, again, Saturday, September 29th, Quest Conference Center from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. We're going to be talking about growing roots and rights for just communities. And again, sustainable communities. And I know you've got a lot of feelings on that. What do we need to do, or at least to begin discussing, to have sustainable communities?
Well, the first thing is what people need to understand, and a lot of this is we want to try and flip some switches, I guess, in people's brains, is, you know, how can you create a sustainable community when it's basically illegal? Because you can't stop the unsustainable. So, in other words, let's say there's a pipeline that's slated to go through your community, and you believe that that's an that's fossil fuel extraction, all that's adding to climate change, we need to stop that, but the law doesn't let you. So, you know, you can propose all these sustainable activities and maybe projects in your community, but if you can't stop that other activity that you believe is creating to the unsustainability, you know, and climate change and the planet, whatever, is going to harm your community, it's actually illegal for you to try and stop that project. So you can't truly be sustainable. And this is something people don't understand. So we always say that, you know, the system, you'll hear that all the time, well, the system's broken and we need to fix it. And we don't really believe that anymore. Once you look at the system and analyze it, you realize the system's fixed. It's working perfectly for the people who set it up and the purpose they set it up for. It's like, I always tell people, we the people need to break it. We need to come in with a sledgehammer, break it, and create something new that actually does protect people and the environment.
And again, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you to comment on the recent developments regarding the Community Bill of Rights here in the city of Columbus.
Oh, yes. After those citizens, I mean, they have worked their butts off, and they're all volunteers, for 3 years. Uh-huh. I mean, they suffered the first attempt. I mean, you know, there was something passed, proposed by city council to change how you petitioned, so they had to start over again. Then tried the next year and followed the rules, but they couldn't collect enough signatures. They were short on signatures in the one-year time period. This year, they collected over 18,000 signatures. And to people who've never petitioned, they need to understand that's a heck of a lot of work. And they qualified. The city said it met the single subject rule. So all these little obstacles placed in the way, they met all of them. And this is all about just protecting the water. So it's, again, the people who live in the community saying, you know what, we've watched what's going on. The state is not passing laws that are protecting our water, so we're going to do it ourselves. Went through all the procedures, did what they were supposed to, and then four appointed members of a board of elections voted no, it can't go on the ballot. And I should add, there were two protesters that came forward, which is kind of interesting. Just never went to a council meeting, never voiced their concerns before any of this came to the Board of Elections, and all of a sudden they protest. And I told the group, I said, it's really interesting because you had over 18,000 people sign your petitions, over 13,500 were validated. So these people all said, when you sign that petition, say, I want to see this on the ballot. I want to have a chance to vote on this. And I said, how come these two people and these four people at the Board of Elections, their voices matter more than those 13,500 people that signed the petition? Because that's basically what's happening. They can say, no, it's not. You don't get to vote on this.
And the ballot issue was for the city of Columbus, right? And it was the Franklin County Board of Elections that voted it down, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's,
and there's two Democrats and two Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Although so the vote was 4-0 against the people.
Yep. 4-0. And so then what we did is we went to the Supreme Court and to try and challenge that, and it was the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund that helped defend the community group in that case, and the Supreme Court ruled last Friday that the Board of Elections was correct, sided with them, along with lots of big money groups like the Oil and Gas Association, the Ohio Chamber of Commerce, Farm Bureau, I think, might have been in yours, but they all filed briefs saying, yes, keep this off the ballot. The people should not be allowed to vote on this law. And the Supreme Court upheld that. So, you know, it's really eye-opening to the people who've worked for this, because we actually have a state constitutional amendment to initiative and referendum, which we have the right to propose laws and legislate. Just like the legislature, you know, representatives can propose laws, right? And they propose a law, they get to debate it. They get to vote on it. No one can step in. The governor, the Supreme Court can't step in, a protester, and say, hey, you can't vote on this, General Assembly. No, they get to vote on it. It becomes law, and then if someone has a problem with the law, you take it to court. But in this instance, the people are legislating. They're proposing a law, and these four people, these Board of Election members,
unelected.
Yeah, unelected, and the Supreme Court are stepping in before it even goes to a vote of the people. I mean, it could go to the ballot, it may not pass, so then the whole issue is moot anyway because it's not a law at that point. But they're stopping it even from going through that process of the people being able to vote on it. And that comes down to our First Amendment rights.
What could they be afraid of? That's the question. Huh?
Well, right, that's what I always ask. So what are they so afraid of if this law actually would pass?
Right, and really, my interpretation is a political science. They're there for one reason. Are there enough correct signatures? I mean, they're the Franklin County Board of Election. They're not a court. They're not a common pleas court. They're not the Supreme Court. They're not a municipal court. They are there to check to make sure that the signatures are legitimate. They shouldn't be overturning the right of the people to self-governance through an initiative.
Right. And what's really interesting, people don't know sometimes the history, how we got initiative and referendum, and that was in 1912. And there was a group of people that fought like hell to get that for us. I mean, years, lost jobs, were taken into the woods and beaten. I mean, and the people then voted actually on the right to have the right to initiative and referendum, and it passed. The people passed that. And here we've got a General Assembly, and we've got a judicial system, the Supreme Court, and a Board of Elections. They're part of the administrative branch. So all three branches of government are stripping away that right of the people to initiative and referendum that they fought for and passed.
And this is going to be part of that discussion that's going to occur on Saturday, September 29th, at the Quest Conference Center from 9 a.m., to 5 p.m. We're talking to Tish O'Dell, Ohio Community Rights Network president, under whose auspices we'll be talking about growing roots and rights for a just community. What do you want to tell the listeners? Why do you think this would appeal to people?
Because, I mean, I think it's really interesting. So think about the right just to initiative and referendum. This one happened to be on water. But whatever your particular issue is, you know, say it's a social justice issue, you know, you're going to run into the same problems. Whereas if the corporate state doesn't want this to become a law, it doesn't become, what's interesting, if the law would pass and now a corporation, let's say, or another entity is trying to violate it, who's actually breaking the law in that situation? So it's why, like you asked, why they don't want this to go, what are they afraid of? That's what they're afraid of.
Yep.
But people need to come to understand things that we have in place, like preemption. We see the state legislature preempting, which means they're passing a law saying now the local community cannot pass any laws regarding specific issues. And so how does that pertain to all these different topics? Worker rights, $15 an hour minimum wage. You are not allowed to even locally think about that, let alone pass a law, because the state legislature's preempted you. Police accountability, how it affects that. Most of these commissions where there's been issues in cities, they said what would help is if the police officers had to live in the communities that they serve and got to know the people. Guess what? We've got a preemption law in Ohio that you can't require police officers to live in the communities that they serve.
How about that?
So, you know, so there's, I mean, heck, you can't even have, you know, regulate puppies being sold from puppy mills in your community because they passed a preemption law in Ohio. You know, so from guns to oil and gas to micro wireless technology where they can place their equipment, people don't even realize that this legislature that's owned by corporations is continuously passing laws that prevents us from self-governing. And so I would say no matter what your passion, your issue is, come to this conference because you'll join with other activists in other areas and we'll figure out some of these commonalities so that maybe we can work together so in the future you can make a difference and create those communities you envision.
All right, Tish O'Dell, thank you for being on the other side of the news. Tish O'Dell, again, Ohio Community Rights Network president. You can see her, and I'll be there as well, on Saturday, September 29th at the Quest Conference Center.
Can I just ask where that is? I don't know. Where is the Quest Center, by the way? The Quest Conference Center?
Oh, it's Polaris.
Polaris, okay. And again, it's $10. Oh, also, the pre-registration or to register, ohiocrn.org.
Yes, and you, it is important. We won't be taking walk-ins that day because lunch is provided. So you have to pre-register.
Pre-register.
Okay. So please do that.
www.ohiocrn.org. Thanks again, Tish O'Dell.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys. See you there.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Here we are again on the other side of the news. I'm the other guy, and we just finished having a great conversation with Tish O'Dell. Get out there and support your community by participating in the Community Rights Conference on Saturday the 29th. Sign up early, ohiocrn.org. In the meantime, there's always news being made locally. One of the titans of Columbus and New Albany, Leslie Wexner, has jumped ship off of the grand old party to become an independent, whatever that means. And Bob, you know a little bit about Les Wexner and his history in politics. Could you care to enlighten our listeners?
Well, if you look at Les Wexner, you know, one of the last great titans from that legendary 1989 article in the Columbus Monthly, the Titans, six men who rule Columbus. I think he's the only one still alive.
How about that? Was McCoy another one, I imagine?
To put this, at the time, McCoy wasn't in there. He was in the next tier down.
I see.
But there were two wolves.
Two wolves.
J.W.
Almost a pack.
And J.F., the late, great J.W., John Walton Wolf. But as you look, and Wexner, of course, is once told people at Harvard when he was giving a talk that he was asked to be one of the people that decided the key decisions in Ohio, particularly Columbus, to, you know, where expressways would be built. And
he had his way in New Albany.
Yes, he sure did.
Infrastructure surrounding it.
If you look at him, his mentor was Max Fisher. We know Max Fisher from the Max Fisher School of Business. Fisher was primarily associated with the city of Detroit, but was a graduate of The Ohio State University. So he was the only wealthy, really wealthy Jewish individual that was with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And being more socially conservative, that was always a problem. But he was the mentor to Les Wexner, as well as another guy named Al Tubman, who built the first indoor, Northland Indoor Mall.
Huh.
Fisher, who died a few years back, helped create things like these mega groups of sort of Republican super rich multimillionaires, and in Wexner's case, billionaires.
Peddlers of influence.
That gave money to the National Democratic Party. Hmm. Now, Mr. Wexner has been quite upset since Charlottesville. He's Jewish. And when you see people marching with torches.
You were saying they gave money to the Republican Party, right?
Yes, nationally, to the Republican Party.
Right.
I mean, locally with business, Wexner's had to deal with, particularly in the city of Columbus, as a businessman with the Democrats because they run the city.
Right.
But they put a lot of money into the Republican Party since the time of Ronald Reagan.
Uh-huh.
But now Trump seems to have, you know, rightfully thrown Mr. Wexner over the edge.
And you think it started with Charlottesville, right?
Well, he says so.
He did say something to that effect,
he's on the record, and he said he's had trouble sleeping. But if you've got these people, you know, these alt-right, but really are neo-fascists and neo-Nazis, marching with torches, right, and saying, like, quote, chanting, "Jews will not replace us."
There you go.
And you're wondering why Mr. Wexner would want to get a job in a factory in Chillicothe and replace, you know, these guys. If you look at him, he's not after their job at 7-Eleven.
But I think so.
In that scenario, I think he did the right thing.
Well, the KKK started as an anti-Jewish, anti-Catholic organization before the Civil War, I believe.
Yeah, the alt-right has always been, you know, anti-Semitic, you know, anti-black,
sure.
anti-Catholic,
mm-hmm.
You know, really anti-immigrant, which is why they like Trump so much.
Because all really, of them are from here. Har, har. Yeah.
But here's the, I mean, the key thing is, you know, when the president said, well, there's good people on both sides.
Right.
Right. I've never met a good Nazi, alt-right, crypto-fascist.
Well, it's they just, might be a good football player.
Their end game is always the same. They're authoritarian. And again, the alt-right believes in genocide. So there's never a good ending. So it's right to counter them, to stand up to them right away and say, that's going to not happen. We saw how it ended in Nazi Germany. We saw how it ended in Mussolini's Italy. And I think Mr. Wexner is taking a bold step by saying, I am leaving the Republican Party as long as it's under the sway of Donald Trump, a man who believes there's good Nazis and fascists.
And it's more than getting away from Trump. And that part of the Republican Party that made him most angry, but he's not moving in league with the Democrats.
He's becoming unaffiliated. In Ohio, it's independent,
or
technically
less.
You're unaffiliated. You don't belong to either party.
So we'll see what he does and which way he leans in the future, which way the wind blows.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it went towards John Kasich.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
Right, who seems to have
Is
done
he backing Cordray
thing.
In the gubernatorial?
I don't know. He didn't go to detail on who he was backing. He just said, look, you know, I'm resigning from the Republican Party.
And right.
Don't come around here for, you know, Donald Trump and his sycophants.
We've only got a few
asking
minutes.
Asking for money.
We've only got a few minutes left, so real quick, anything on the Manafort plea that caught your attention?
Well, the question still
don't celebrate yet on that
whether
folks.
Or not there'll be a pardon. It looks like if he's become the latest flipper, and we're you and I both old
they
enough
call
to
him
be
flipper.
Yeah,
flipper.
Fans of Flipper.
Yeah, the TV show, not the punk band, but some of
indeed.
Us. Yeah. Anyway, so that was interesting news, but. There's so much always going on. Bob and I will always be here on the other side of the news. We also want to, on WGRN, and we also want to remind you that WGRN will have a booth at the Clintonville Farm Market up on High Street by Dunedin from 9 to 12 on this Saturday, the 22nd, and Mr. Eugene Beers will be performing on his bicycle with a keyboard.
But I'm pushing Dugan to be there as a radio personality. With a guitar, singing Clintonville Cats, Dig Clean Country Water.
Yeah, they sure do. All right, then. Thanks a lot.
Well, they like sustainability there, and they like localization.
I heard that. Yep. And they like cats. That's right.
It's all in one.
We got it. Thank you.
Bye.
You've been listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Other Side of the News. The show airs at 5:30 Fridays on WGRN, The Green Renaissance.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.